Blue Gold Sports is rich in tradition and excellence. It's about the athletes, the coaches, the games, and the history. And it all rolls into one place. It's the Rollin' with the Golds podcast, your official UWO Claire Blue Golds podcast.
What up, what up? What's going on, everybody? Welcome to this episode of the Rollin' with the Golds podcast. We've got Nick sitting aside. That's a sweet jacket. Look at you with the swag. I like that. Thanks. Last week it was the Blue Gold Hockey's hoodie, and now it's the full-on zip. It's a full-on zip. It's not full a quarter zip. I like it, man. I like it.
I got the polo underneath.
Look at that. Representing, man.
Heading out on a business trip today.
Ooh, nice. Actually doing some stuff, huh?
Wow. Ouch.
I got to put one zinger in once in a while when we do these, right?
You hit like five.
Well, I got one. I got
four more to go. Scared to come in anymore.
Oh, man. I know. So just kind of a little bit of a heads up. So in the second half of this episode, we're talking some golf. And the podcast, you texted me when this happened. The podcast bump is for real now, because when we talked to these guys, I mean, they were coming off of a tournament win and record or tying program record scores, and then they come on the podcast, and then they break their own records after that. So
I don't know, when we like calculated, when we're joking about it, I think it was like, what, January, February or something like that, and we were just like, oh, we're like 8-for-12 or something like that. I forget what the I should go back and do the math for the whole year. But like, if this doesn't solidify a podcast bump, I don't know what does.
Right.
Shout out Nick Atman. Past Sunday, after tying the school record with a 66 the week before, goes over to Minnesota with the crew and rips a 63.
63.
Two eagles, four birdies, drop eight, no bogeys. Here's the craziest thing. He was only minus two after nine.
You're kidding me.
So he eagled his second hole, and the rest were all pars.
So he shot like in the 20s in the back nine?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is on. And the thing is,
well, no, it would have been,
or maybe third. Maybe about 30.
It was what, 30? It was 31, 32, I think.
Okay.
Or 32, 31?
32, 31, then. That would make sense. Yeah, if he was two under after nine, so.
But he was. But he had his four birdies and his eagle and his second eagle on the back. That doesn't make sense.
Let me. Do we have the
math is hard for the.
I know. See, me and math. That's why don't ever ask me to do that.
I got the results right here.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, just a stellar day. Had another birdie putt on the last hole.
33 out, 30 in. So there you go.
Yeah. So minus two in the front, minus six on the back.
God. And the thing is, when all of you listening right now, and you're going to listen to him talk and talk about his 66 and just how casual he's like, yeah, you know, he's so.
I was just trying to get it there.
Yeah.
His putt.
He's so humble. You know.
Yeah.
I can't. I mean, he'd probably be the same way after the 63 if we talked to
him. Well, if you follow us on social media, we posted, shout out Coach Skinner. He took videos both when he hit the birdie. Last, like 2 weeks ago at the Stout Invite, or at the Wyack Championships, to hit 66, and then he took another video for him to hit 63. There's no Tiger fist bump. There's no big hoorah.
Mm-hmm.
He just makes the putt.
Just makes the putt and goes on.
Walks off with a smile on his face. Then,
do you think he knew?
Gosh, I don't know if he. He had to have.
He had to have an idea, right?
Well, I mean, again, he was bogeyless on the front with an eagle, and then he had that stellar run on the back with four birdies and another eagle. Like, he had to have known that he was close, at least. Especially when you're coming in off the front nine with a 33.
He's one of the most modest people I think I've ever met.
Oh, yeah.
It's
well, and guess what? He's only a junior.
I know. So, it was a really fun conversation. I think everybody's going to enjoy that coming up in the second half here, too. But, man, 63.
Crazy. I could never.
I can't even imagine shooting a 63 right now. I'd get so far in my head that I would screw up probably. You know, if I started off even, like, 33 on the front nine, I'd be like all in my head and probably shoot like a 50 in the back nine.
You know, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, right? So, man, that's awesome. So that was their final tournament. Do we know anything about like nationals or anything like that at this point in time?
Yeah,
or?
So okay. The national list came out on Monday. Unfortunately, they aren't they're not in a conference.
Okay.
So even though they won the WIAC championships, they didn't get an auto bid through that. They didn't grab an at-large bid as an independent.
Okay.
In Pool B or Pool C. Just because their ranking wasn't high enough. And then every year they take like 7 or 8 individuals. We thought, you know, 66 and a 63 from Nick would have
yeah.
you know, kind of jumped him up there. From what I hear, he just missed the cut line.
Okay.
So unfortunately, no blue golds at the NCAAs this year. But looking at their schedule, the lowest, take a guess, the lowest placement they had all year. This is spring and fall.
Team-wise or individual?
Team-wise.
Was it a top 10?
Man. Fourth place.
You're kidding me.
No, go look at their schedule. Yeah. Fourth place was the lowest that they placed the entire year. Unless my eyes were deceiving me yesterday.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's unreal.
That is.
And we're talking about double-digit teams. It's not like fourth
right.
out of,
right.
you know, seven or something like
and
that.
And some of those are big tournaments with, mm-hmm. you know, like top schools like Methodist, Carnegie Mellon,
mm-hmm.
like Emory, like,
wow.
Yeah. So despite them missing out on the cut line for NCAAs, like, mm-hmm. hats off to you fellas. Heck of a year.
Heck yeah.
Heck of a year.
Use that as motivation maybe a little bit for next year,
definitely.
Too. A little chip on the shoulder.
Definitely.
If you will. So, man, that's, I thought for sure, especially, yeah, go 60, I mean, 66 and 63. I'd love to know where that cut line was.
I would too.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know all the math and the analytics behind it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Shout out. Congrats to that entire team. And good to hear too. If, you know, I know the guys will talk about it in the second half, but I mean, it seems like they've got a good rapport and coach
yeah.
is doing a fantastic job
oh, yeah.
with that program. So.
Go get there.
Oh, yeah. All right. So how about, should we start, we started with golf there, but. Softball WIAC championships this weekend or this
WIAC
week
championships
coming up here.
We're
so.
In Oshkosh.
Yep. So was it Blue Girls got Whitewater right away? Is that
yeah? Yep.
Okay.
So went to a tiebreak between them and Lacrosse. Lacrosse has the tiebreaker because Lacrosse swept Whitewater.
Okay.
During the season, so yep, Blue Girls get the Warhawks on Thursday 9 a.m. at the Oshkosh Rec place. I forget what it's called.
Okay.
Sports Rec Complex or something. I don't know.
Okay.
They win that game. They then play Oshkosh at 2 p.m. Thursday.
Okay.
If they fall in that opening round, it's double elim. It's not win or go home. It's win or go home then the following day, Friday at 9 a.m.
Okay.
Where they would play the non-advancing team from the 3-seed, 6-seed matchup.
Okay.
So we're the 5th seed, play the 4-seed, 3 and 6 play after us, 1 and 2 get a bye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we'll see how it goes. I mean, that's when it comes to the conference tournament, anything can happen, right? And they're the
yes.
proof of that happening.
Yes.
So
I ain't trying to jinx it, but last time I did go to a softball WIAC championship, Blue Golds were raising a trophy. So
nice. How young were you when they did that?
That was like 2 years ago, man.
Oh, I'm okay. Yeah, I'm thinking of the national championships.
Right? Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
no.
I was thinking national championship. My bad. So
oh.
I was like, I was in college when that happened. So you had to be
yeah,
a wee
that
little
wasn't
lad.
That.
2008?
Yeah. I was 11.
Okay.
So don't little me with your arm to the floor.
I was going to be 22, so now we can do the math. We're about 11 years difference. I'm your big brother. Right?
Yeah. Nice.
That's
about it, yeah.
Yeah, right? I mean, because we're starting to get into postseason play, too. I know, like, okay, so explain, if you can, track and what... What?
No, I had a feeling this was coming.
Okay.
Because I myself have been confused.
Do you know where I'm going with this?
Maybe.
Track?
Maybe I don't know.
Track and field?
Well, I know you're going track.
Okay.
I said it 3 times.
Yeah. Well, because you had the WIAC, and now it's at the school open, and then is this like a last chance meet sort of thing, or?
Kind of.
Okay.
I I don't want to say this is regionals because it's not the best of the best in the region going at it.
Okay.
So, again, with track, you have to hit a certain mark, certain time, certain distance within your event throughout the nation to be considered for the NCAA National Championships,
okay.
Outdoor Championships. So you go through the WIAC. Even if you win the WIAC, you're not guaranteed a spot
okay.
at the championships. There's no auto bid. There's no it's just top 10 times for this, you're going.
Okay.
Top 15 times for this, you're going. And it's more than 10 or 15. I mean, the meet is huge itself. So that's why, again, like, Chip is perfectly fine. Like, the Blue Golds, they performed well. They hit their marks at the WIAC Championships.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like, that's not the trophy they're chasing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have the lacrosse qual, or I don't know what they call it online.
It says the open, right?
So that's just like an open sign up.
Yeah.
Okay. And lacrosse used to do, so what they used to do is they used to do a last chance meet the week before. The week before Nationals.
Okay.
But they actually pulled out this year's, which is why there's Augustana on the schedule.
Okay.
So last chance meets is just an extra opportunity for student athletes to hit those top times, right? If you're trending on the right direction and you're like, oh, I'm 25 seconds off of my mark that I need to make for the 5K, I'm going to go to Augustana because I'm trending. I've been shaving time off my 5K for the past 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go to Augustana and try to hit a top 10 mark.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. Everybody else around the country is doing the same thing.
Right.
So, it'd be really good.
Yeah.
But, like, there's some people that are, like, I was talking with Chip yesterday, like, Jacob Ekwe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has that 60.12 or whatever it was down at the Drake Relays.
Yeah.
He might not even throw this next couple weeks just because doesn't need to.
Mm-hmm.
He's top dog.
There's a lot more strategy involved in this.
Right.
You know, kind of thinking about it that way.
100%.
The way you explained that.
But so. It's funny. I ran out of Chip yesterday. And then, because, like, next week is finals week.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he's got some seniors or juniors that just don't have any exams or tests or essays, which I don't know if that was the case for you when you were a senior, let alone just a Blue Gold.
Right.
My finals week was jam-packed.
Yeah.
And I always had, always, every single semester, all 8 semesters, the last final on Friday.
I don't think I had that. I remember I had, I think it was a physiology class that was like a late afternoon sort of thing, and I just had to sit around and wait to get it done.
I don't know, somebody in that CJ department. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say. So they have lacrosse. The cross open this week, Augustana mm-hmm. next week. I believe actually Chip told me there's a couple runners going down to St. Francis.
Okay.
Cabrini in Illinois. Indiana. I don't know.
So that's so. You got to give credit to that group too because, I mean, you're not just like, hey, we got a game or a match here. You can send athletes to different events, you know, to kind of keep tabs of that.
Right.
And strategize on that. I mean, there's a whole lot of, I think, behind-the-scenes stuff going on that maybe casual fans don't know a whole lot about.
Right. Now I remember why I brought up the whole tests and exams.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, we have track kids who don't have tests or exams, and so they just asked Chip if they could go to lacrosse or go to Augustana because they'd be bored. Which, like, hey, hats off to you guys. That's awesome.
Right.
You want to go grab a PR or something like that? Like,
mm-hmm.
That's terrific.
Heck, yeah.
But
that's awesome.
They're feeling good. He said there's not as many in past years, there's not as many of those kids that are, like, right on that bubble that, like, ooh, they could get passed up or, ooh, they have a chance to pass. He's got a lot more people in that safe,
mm-hmm.
safe zone.
Yeah.
So, just excited.
Right. Absolutely. So, we'll be paying attention to that. How about that comeback from lacrosse against River Falls?
Cow,
I was following along online because, River Falls put up 7 in the seconds. And then Eau Claire just chipped away after that and ended up winning 12-11. And was it the third place game in the WIAC?
Yep, third place game. So it's mm-hmm. first ever WIAC championship for women's lacrosse. It's the first year that they've had women's lacrosse as a sponsored sport.
Mm-hmm.
So top 4 teams of the conference made it out of the 6. It was or out of the 7 to be hosted at the highest Wisconsin school, so Colorado College,
mm-hmm.
the 1 seed, flew in. But yeah, heck of a game. by and it, what a great ending for head coach, you know, Mike Radovi in his first season to you know, kind of make the noise, and it was on their field.
Yeah,
like that'd feel pretty special.
And it looks like, because I was kind of cruising along a few times this past weekend, just had to do some events. Quite a good representation out there too. Bleachers and that too. So
they come out, they show up.
Yeah. Even it was like, oh yeah, that's going on there over there too. So yeah, that was awesome. I was kind of following along. I'm like, so what were they down, like 8-4 at the half, something like that, and just chipping away.
Yeah.
And they got her done, 4-2 in the final, in the fourth there.
Well,
so
they hung on. I mean, they scored their last goal with like 4:38. So, and Riffle scored twice after that because they went up 12-9. So yeah, just a great way to cap off a great season. They've had their own trials and tribulations this year with schools canceling because they don't have teams, the weather, everything. It's been a year.
Yeah, I can imagine. Hey, I gotta ask, how'd you do on throwing out the pitch? I saw a photo of you shaking a hand at a baseball game, but we didn't see any video or photos of you actually throwing the baseball. So was it a strike?
It was.
Was it a strike? Okay.
I put some heat behind it.
Did
it didn't
you?
Bounce.
Right. Okay. Attaboy.
It didn't bounce.
I was a little worried since they didn't post anything up there. You know, no form photo or anything like that. So I was kind of...
It's fine by me. I look way better behind the camera than I do in front. So,
but you guys got to throw out the first pitch, the athletic department staff.
Yeah.
I saw Robin throwing out the first pitch, too.
Yeah, which, of course...
She a lefty?
Yeah, and just, like, right down the middle. Just, like, no effort. Just showed us all up. First one to go.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, shout out Coach Riley for that. That was pretty fun. That was pretty special. You know, talking with some of the guys, debating on whether I was just going to lob it in there or actually just give my all. But I put a little bit of heat, heat behind it. Just
I like it. Attaboy. Make the leather pop a little bit.
Oh yeah. Again, didn't bounce. It was right down the middle.
Nope. But
called for an ice pack right afterwards. But
so baseball season, another coach year one in the books with the Coach Riley season, or Coach Riley era, excuse me. So you know, wins, losses. I think there's a lot of positive stuff to look forward to with this program in the future, though.
I think the biggest thing when you have a brand new coach come in, and again, like I've said it once, I'll say it a million more times, like. Bringing back baseball, we did not expect success right away. That also went for men's soccer. That also went for women's lacrosse. Like, we did not think those two teams, any of those teams, would sprout the way that they do. Right? Okay, now we're into year four of these teams, though, right? Like, now there's some expectations. When you bring in a brand new coach, I think the biggest thing, at least for me, and this could be completely different than what Jason thinks, or what the rest of the admin, or what anybody else thinks, and that's fine. Like, I'm the Twitter guy. Let's make one thing clear. I'm not the one that signs these contracts. Having the opportunity to instill a culture that they want, that's going to be replicated year after year after year, and basically filing down expectations, I think is huge. And from what I hear, this year, that was accomplished. There was a major culture change. There was a major accountability, sense of accountability throughout the entire team. That wasn't just, you know, seniors barking at freshmen. Like, everybody was holding each other accountable. You know, wasn't as many guys missing weightlifting sessions, whatever it was. It sounded like from a culture and a personality standpoint, the baseball team grew. Now, 11 wins on the season. Double-digit wins. They had a four-game winning streak down in Florida. That didn't happen in years past.
Right? Yep.
You know, and you can sit there and say, well, they had more WIAC wins the last 2 years. Well, let's everybody remember who they were playing in the WIAC the last 3 years, Finlandia, which, I mean, that team maybe had 10 wins.
Right.
The past 3 years combined, right? And so, and nothing against those teams prior, but I think, like, on paper, like we say, you box score scout this team season,
right?
You think it's thumbs down,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm telling you from an insider's point of view and from somebody that knows these kids very well and has gotten to know these kids like very, very well over the last 4 years, this was a huge, huge year for them. And everybody took a big step forward. And I'm mm-hmm. very excited to see what is to come in mm-hmm. next year.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's continuity across. I mean, we've talked about it at length, too, with Coach Riley. I mean, his familiarity with the area. I mean, with the Express, you know, connection with Dale Varsho. I mean, it's just seems like a collective group now almost.
Right.
With,
and then you got
baseball.
Coach Dykes. You got Coach Johnson.
Johnson. Yep.
Drew, Logan, mm-hmm. I mean, the whole coaching staff, like,
mm-hmm.
I got to imagine at some point if they haven't already, like, they just sit in the mirror and they just kind of take a load off. Because this year was not in any way easy for any one of those mm-hmm. coaching staff guys. And same with the players.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we finally got to have a true, like, senior day with guys who have been here since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
They're 4 years. And we've had senior days in the past, but those were transfers, right? But these right. were kids; these were guys that were coming in year one
at the beginning of the program.
Yeah. Year one,
mm-hmm.
so
yep. Oh yeah,
I think it's a W mm-hmm. on the year. I really do.
Yep, I do too. I gotta mention here quick too. I know tennis is in the books, but a couple of men's players all WIAC teams too. Dimitri and Hunter.
Yes, a couple senior leaders that definitely deserve those. Those honors,
mm-hmm.
Just terrific individuals who put everything that they could on the line,
mm-hmm.
and were great role models for that team. So,
right,
2-1 on the WIAC this year. You know, they finished second in the West Division. Of course, it's the Purple People Eaters mm-hmm. out east that kind of ran away with it. So,
mm-hmm.
They'll graduate, but they'll leave that team in good standing.
Yes, absolutely. I know too, and it's that time of year where we're getting there with summer. But I saw camps are starting to go out there. I saw, was it the men's team or men's basketball camp? Was it like a 3-on-3 camp that's going to be coming in July, I think? But signups are open.
There's
I mean, there's
so many camps.
Yep.
We're starting something new this year. It's called the Sports for All Camp.
Yes, I saw that
make
too.
Make sure I have that right.
Presented by Shields.
Yes. So it's 2 sessions in July.
Mm-hmm.
And from my understanding is, for those of you listening, it's a glorified daycare.
Okay.
Which is great
mm-hmm.
because, I mean, I shouldn't say glorified daycare, but it's for kids between the ages of kindergarten to 8th grade. You basically drop them off at campus.
Mm-hmm.
You leave them with our coaching staff and our student athletes, and they're going to have them burn energy
mm-hmm.
for the entire day.
Yep. Yeah. It almost reminds me, this was probably before your time, but when I was a student there, we did, it was called the Wisconsin Youth Sports Program, and it was on campus. But, yeah, we had kids coming in, and, it was like they had different stations and different sports and all that good stuff. That was back in the day, we shall say.
I'm trying to think. We used to have it. I forget what it was called. We used to do, like, something during the week
mm-hmm.
where we would, it was like, 6 to 9 or something, or like 5 to 9
mm-hmm.
where parents could drop off their kids up in McPhee and the student athletes would basically just be there to play sports. I don't think we called it like Blue Gold Date Night or something.
Okay.
I don't know. But again, similar feel where there's 2 week long sessions.
Mm-hmm.
You drop them off at McPhee. I believe lunch is included. Mm-hmm. I might also just be making stuff up. I should know because I created the camp page, but yes, bluegolds.com. Either go to bluegolds.com/camps or hit the camps button up top.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, baseball, volleyball, running, boys soccer, football, boys basketball, strength performance, softball, wrestling, swim and dive, girls soccer, gymnastics, girls basketball, girls lacrosse,
mm-hmm.
sports for all. I mean,
yeah.
There's
I'm looking at Hudson for that sports for all camp. So
100%.
Yeah.
It's actually run by Coach Riley.
Is it really?
Coach Riley and some of the football assistants.
Oh, nice. So, okay.
So, yeah.
That's even a bigger selling point there, too. So, yeah, session 1, July 8th through the 11th, and then July 15th through the 18th for that Sports for All.
Are there times on there?
Yes. It is 8 a.m. every morning. Camper pickup will begin at noon. So.
Oh, so it's morning stuff.
Mm-hmm. 8 yeah. to noon. So, there you go. Yeah, K through 8. Yeah, I was looking. I saw that the other day pop up, and I'm like, "Ooh, that could be great for my guy."
Yeah.
So, All right, man. Well, should we get to the second half, or did we cover everything?
I feel like there's. Oh, I have. I just don't have photos yet, so I can't post the story. But I got to give a couple quick shout outs. We had our all athlete end of the year banquet on Monday, which.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sick kid, man.
Oof.
Really bad. So.
Well, you had your name read, and then we all.
Did I?
We all looked like losers looking around looking for you at the table.
Did I?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, what was that?
Oh, it was just a thank you.
Oh.
What'd you think it was?
Did I get an award?
Oh, no.
Oh.
Awards are only for student athletes.
Oh.
You did miss me have to get up there and speak for like 25 minutes, though.
That, can somebody send me the video, please?
Oh, there is no video.
Oh. Somebody in that media department and the athletics.
Funny how that works.
Yeah,
right. Funny how that works. Yeah, a couple quick shout-outs. Shout-out Lola Ruff and Brett Farmer, are two Blue Gold Senior Award winners.
Mm-hmm.
Just terrific individuals who, and we had Brett on the podcast.
Yeah.
That
kid's future is bright, man.
Right. They're just two individuals. I mean, we could say it every year, but two individuals who just amplify who what being a Blue Gold is. So they're both going to go off and do great things. But shout out just all you seniors, whether you're listening or not.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats. Like, I know we still have finals week, but from the sounds of it, like, none of you have essays or tests, so you're basically done. Still weird. But yeah, no, congrats. Very, very proud of you. Being a student and an athlete, it ain't hard. It ain't easy.
Mm-hmm.
But you're just about to the finish line, so finish strong these last couple weeks and, you know, come back and visit and tell us all about.
That's the beauty of D3, right? You do it for the passion,
right?
For the love of the game,
right?
So, heck yeah. It's kind of hard to believe that you're kind of talking about that and graduation's coming up here, but
yeah.
Memories. 15 years ago for me, when I graduated college.
2019.
Yeah, 5 for you. So.
Math.
I was 09, class of 09.
Well, shall we?
Yeah.
Oh.
What?
Turf and Sonatech.
Oh.
Turf and Sonatech.
Really?
We'll get some photos up next week.
Okay. Yeah. Get some photos up. So, and we got another episode coming up, right?
We have two, don't we?
We got two more. That's what I thought. I don't want, because it started.
Do we
wanna
well,
it started to turn into a goodbye episode. So I'm like, no, we got
well,
two more.
Well, it's goodbye to the seniors.
Yeah, right. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, just want to, in case anybody's freaking out.
Do we have three or do we have two?
You tell me.
Because we go through the end of May.
Okay, so we got, where's the calendar here? We got, what is it, 8th? One, oh, we got three more. What are you talking about? Yeah. May 29th is our last one.
You said two. I said three.
May 30th is our last one. Our last recording is probably the 29th, but then it'll air the May
30th. Well, I
got to
make sure our one guest.
Yeah, the one that I know, the final one.
Should, yeah, I should head out and actually go track him down.
Okay. All right, we'll get to the second half of the interview here. We'll talk some golf here after these quick words from our sponsors.
BSN Sports, a proud supporter of Blue Gold Athletics, is the largest provider of team sports equipment and apparel in the country. With more than 40 sales pros that live and service schools in every corner of Wisconsin and beyond. BSN would like to thank all the supporters of Blue Gold Athletics that share our passion for enhancing the student experience. While BSN Sports is the best at equipping athletes, coaches are the best at equipping lives, and that's the real final score. Learn more about how BSN can save you time off the field and court, giving you more time to impact lives of student athletes. Contact your local BSN Sports sales pro today or visit bsnsports.com.
With a Royal Credit Union checking account, you get endless ways to bank, save, and spend. Royal's checking accounts offer all the benefits you need, like no minimum balance, no monthly fees, and customizable real-time alerts. You'll have access to our free online banking and mobile app, so managing your account is easy. We're in your neighborhood, on your phone, and here to help. Open your checking account with Royal Credit Union today at rcu.org/royalchecking account. Insured by NCUA.
Where do you go for great burgers, drinks, and fun? Wahlburgers inside your local Hy-Vee. The Wahlburgers and Hy-Vee stores have a large menu, including a kids menu.
plus a full bar. You'll find the classic Wahlburgers favorites, including Mark and Donnie Wahlberg's favorite burgers and Chef Paul Wahlberg's famous tater tots, plus amazing appetizers, sandwiches and salads, and delicious shakes and desserts. For a great meal on the go, check out Wahlburgers at Hy-Vee.
Welcome back to the second half of this episode of the Rollin' with the Golds podcast. And, Nick, I think both of us are excited about this one because I'm a decent golfer. You are a golfer.
Might be the nicest thing you've ever said.
Notice I didn't say you're decent. I just said you are a golfer.
Well, you didn't say anything negative. So, no, like, yeah. I was ready to take the bullet, but...
Nice. By the way, Jordan hoodies for hockey? That's sweet,
like,
dude.
2 years old?
But still, it's sweet, so yeah. I like that.
They went through a Jordan phase.
I like it.
They got made fun of for it.
Yeah.
Which is why I got one, I guess.
I would. So,
but yeah,
we're going to talk some more golf, and it's perfect timing, too.
Yeah, we got a couple guys that probably could definitely help both of our games, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But they're coming off a big win at the WIAC Championships over Sunday and Monday. We mm-hmm. record this on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Or Tuesday. My days got mixed up. But we got the individual overall winner and the, I don't know what you would call that. I guess the lowest, tied for the lowest round, I don't know, record holder?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
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 Nick Atman. And then we got Carson Brock, who led after first two rounds, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So, gentlemen, welcome to the podcast.
First of all, I love the fact that you guys are both wearing two golf course hats, Sand Valley and Erin Hills. Way to represent over there. So have you played Sand Valley?
Yeah, so I played Sand Valley for the State Am last summer.
Okay.
And he also was there.
Okay.
Or 2 summers ago, I believe. Yeah. And then last year, actually, State Am was at Erin Hills as well, so we were both there as well.
Oh, geez, you guys. Like, those are – Sand Valley's – because I used to work down by Nakusa and all that, okay. And they just started building that when I left, so I never had a chance to play it. So
it's pretty sweet. We stopped there actually this past week.
Really?
We were down there for like the Lake Arrowhead
tournament. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, it's right across the street, so we stopped there, and it's a sweet place.
Gosh. Well, I'm coming. That's going to be a question coming up later on, golf courses and bucket lists and all that stuff. So, gentlemen, first of all, thanks for stopping by, and like I said, perfect timing because – I mean, you guys are on a roll right now. No pun intended. Okay, dad joke.
Is this what we're going to do?
I'm a dad. I'm a dad joke guy now, so here we are. So, well, first of all, let me get a little bit of a background from both of you guys. How did you guys get started in golf? What was it that drew you to the sport, and what kept you in it, really?
Well, first of all, thanks for having us as well. But I guess when I started playing golf was... I don't know, when I was maybe 5 years old, my dad, he had a buddy that he golfs with all the time, and he had like this little club that he had for his son, and then he just kind of gave it to my dad. Mm-hmm. So then I started using that, and then I didn't get into competitive golf until probably middle school, and that's when I kind of started taking it seriously, because I played basketball my whole life, and mm-hmm. then up until middle school, I was like, okay, well, I'm better at golf than I am at basketball, so I kind of took that more seriously, and kind of led into wanting to play college golf and
mm-hmm.
led me to this, I guess, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and then for me, I actually got pictures of me with clubs and swinging when I'm like 2 years old.
Man, so I wish I was that young when I started.
My dad was pretty into golf when I was growing up, so he kind of introduced me to it.
Mm-hmm.
My grandpa was into it too, so we played with him. Kind of similar to Carson, I started doing tournaments and taking it a little more seriously in middle school, and then once high school came around, I kind of zoned in on just golf because I realized that's what I was best at.
Mm-hmm. You know, so at a young age, you know, I'm older than you guys, but like I didn't start till like middle school,
mm-hmm.
and at that point in time, there was a guy that was just starting to become really good, some guy named Tiger Woods. And, like, I kind of use, you've probably heard of him. but, like, I always use, he made golf cool for me. Like, mm-hmm. I felt like at that time it was, like, still kind of frowned upon. I was like, okay, you know, fancy game, gentleman's game, whatever. But, like, Tiger made it cool for kids at my age in middle school to go golfing at that. So it's really cool to see, like, here you guys, you started at a really young age at that. Because I didn't get to start enjoying it till middle school and even right into high school there, too. And junior golf and all that stuff. Over there too. So, was it something that you grew up like watching and loving right away too, not only just playing, or did that come with time?
I watched a decent amount of golf. I don't think I was crazy into it in middle school. Mm-hmm. Then once high school came, I kind of zoned in on it. That's right. Kind of what I did, what mm-hmm. I kind of liked. Yeah. So that's
pretty... Honestly, I was kind of opposite. When I first started playing golf, it was my dad, my sister, that we would play. It was like us three, and I honestly hated it. I did not like golf.
Yeah.
It was so frustrating because I sucked. I just wasn't good or anything like that. And then once I saw a little glimpse of like success in middle school, like golf with our middle school team,
mm-hmm.
I kind of, you know,
you got addicted to that.
Yeah, I got addicted to that feeling, and just kind of throughout the years got a little bit better. And then in high school, I started to pay attention to more like pro golf, just because, you know, I was getting better and I just wanted to watch, you know, Rory and
mm-hmm.
Justin Thomas and all those guys. So it was, I knew who Tiger Woods was. I knew he was, you know, the best ever. But I didn't, you know, I wasn't watching him growing up until mm-hmm. probably high school. And then I got to watch his Masters win in 2019. So that was pretty cool. But up until high school, that was probably the only time that I,
mm-hmm.
that was when I started watching.
How big of an adjustment was it for both of you to go from high school to college golf, maybe from a competition, or, you know, because I used to play high school golf too. That was a long time ago. It was over 20 years ago now. God, 20-year anniversary.
Only 20?
My 20th class reunion is coming up this summer, so yeah.
I would have guessed like 30.
Man. But so it's still 20 years ago, and I'm sure a lot of it has changed, but what was it like? Was there a big adjustment, you know, maybe from the style of play? I'm sure competition was probably still up there too, but was there a big, because I just remember playing in high school and like you're self-patrolling yourself. You're kind of self-patrolling other players, which I think is unique with this sport. You don't have officials or umpires or anything like that. You're kind of doing that with yourself. So was there a big jump for you guys, or was it pretty normal?
Honestly, I would say it was a pretty big jump for myself. With my conference and the area I was in, it was kind of a handful of golfers that were good.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an adjustment going to college because the college golfers, I mean, everybody was basically those top five players in my region. You know, they were that level of skill. So you're going against good players constantly, which was awesome. And so it just forces you to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say, like, with my personal game, I mean, I'm just much more of a complete player than I was in high school. So it's tough to compare, like, apples to apples because it's just, like, I feel like a different player now.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there was definitely an adjustment period. And I came in during COVID, so it was, you know, it was just kind of a mess. And everybody's trying to figure out how to play and balance it out. But, yeah, there was definitely it was a little different for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of the opposite. My high school team was really competitive. We had a bunch of really good players. One of the guys even went to Illinois to play golf.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so I had to do a lot of qualifying in high school, especially freshman year, which is kind of what we do right now at Eau Claire.
Mm-hmm.
The team wasn't as deep in high school, so we didn't have to do as much qualifying, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was still really good, even the schools around us. One of the guys on the team actually goes to Kettle Moraine, and I went to Arrowhead. So
okay.
We were playing together all the time. Mm-hmm. We were both the ones junior and senior year. Yeah, so it wasn't too big of an adjustment for me. My game's obviously developed a mm-hmm. ton since coming to college and just playing with high-level competition guys all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, my high school team was pretty competitive, so it wasn't a crazy mm-hmm. adjustment for me.
I think, you know, you mentioned the qualifying thing, too. Another unique thing, I think, about this sport, whether it's the high school or the college level, even though you're on a team, but you're competing against your teammates too to see if you can go play that tournament, right? I mean, you know, I'm just going back again to my high school. We had 35 guys on a team, 5 for varsity go, 5 for JV go, and it's like I'd be happy if I'm just a JV just to go, you know, that sort of thing. But you're competing against those other guys like the round before. Hey, top 10's going, so you want to be happy for your team, but at the same time, it's like you're also competing against them. Have you guys found yourself in a similar situation to that? Like, I want to be happy for the team, but dang it, I got to beat that guy too.
Yeah, I've definitely found myself in that situation. We're all super competitive,
mm-hmm.
and we all want to beat each other as much as we can, but we all love each other, and we're rooting for each other all the time too. So
mm-hmm.
I'd say it's a really good balance of competition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, it's a pretty good culture to have, honestly, just to be competitive at qualifying and practice, just because it pushes everybody to be better.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I felt that for sure. Selfishly, you know, you want yourself to do good
mm-hmm.
Initially, but when you see your teammates do good and playing well, and then projecting our team to play even better, that's a good feeling too. So it's kind of a, I don't know, it's kind of a weird feeling at first, but you know it works out in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've definitely felt that. And with qualifying, it honestly seems like a tournament within our team, because we're constantly qualifying. We're qualifying like every week,
mm-hmm.
so we're just determining like the lineup 1 through 5, and then 6 through 10 usually. But yeah, it's a crazy feeling, but it's a good feeling. It's a good culture, so it's good.
It's almost like a tournament within a tournament. Like, it's a tournament, but it's a practice, right? You know, to kind of help prepare for the tournament.
Yeah, it's like a tournament before the tournament.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about, so you're in high school, you're thinking about maybe playing college golf. What was it like your senior year, maybe looking at colleges, recruitment, that sort of stuff? Did you do a lot of your own recruiting, or what was that process like?
So for me personally, my dream, like once I was a freshman in high school, my dream was to play Division I golf. And I didn't know if that was achievable or not. But then I quickly began to realize, I'm like, I'm not good enough to be D1. But then probably junior year, I started reaching out to colleges, and a couple colleges started reaching out to me. And so I kind of narrowed it down to a couple schools. And then ultimately Eau Claire was just kind of the sweet spot. It was, you're competing at a high level. Coach Skinner is super knowledgeable and can help you with your swing. We have pretty good facilities. Like, Eau Claire Country Club is one of the best facilities like you can get in the state of Wisconsin. And then we have also the racquetball room, which is, we converted into a golf room at McPhee. That has been super helpful in the winters when
mm-hmm.
we can't be outside. So that kind of was the thing that won it over for me, to want to come to Eau Claire, and just kind of having that winning culture. When I committed here, I think it was right at the beginning of my senior year of high school, we were ranked 9th in the country. So it was kind of, it was sweet to see that. It's like, okay, I'm coming into a winning culture, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But then COVID hit, so then it was kind of weird. I had already committed to a college, so it was like it was okay for me. But then a couple of my buddies that were trying to get into colleges to play golf, it was definitely a little different, but mm-hmm. it worked out for myself.
Yeah, I'd say mine was kind of pretty similar to Carson's. I reached out to kind of a select amount of schools, not too many.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of between here and Winona, and on my visit, I knew a couple of the guys on the team already, so that definitely helped. I knew that the culture was really good. Coach Skinner, he actually watched me play a junior tournament at Lake Arrowhead, too,
okay.
which is where we played yesterday, and I don't know, I really liked him. He's super knowledgeable about the game, a great guy, so that definitely helped a lot. And then, yeah, similar to what Carson said, the country club is sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really nice course, and I have so much fun playing it every time. It's really difficult, which makes it kind of tough when we're qualifying, but
right.
definitely makes you better.
Have you ever played the country club?
I have not.
I've played it once.
Oh, yeah. I want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had the chance
well,
to.
We got the golf outing.
That's right. That is. Is it at the country club?
Yeah, Eau Claire golf outing this year.
Nice. All right.
Have you played it recently?
No, I played it like 2 years ago on a random fall day. I had known the previous pro, and it was like, yeah, you can come out on like a random Monday morning at like 9 a.m., where I definitely probably should have been in the office. But yeah. Took 3 other buddies and yeah, hit the course. And yeah, it's difficult. I will.
Yeah, it's tough.
I will echo that. It's it's definitely was not one of my lower rounds. But you're right. It's the facility is crazy. And actually, you know, you talk about the racquetball room and what we've done with some of those and just using space and being creative with it. Did I hear correctly? You guys might be hitting golf balls in Sonitag next year?
So.
Or even this summer?
Mm. Yeah. Some ledges, 50-yard shots, maybe into a big net, too.
Nice.
So, yeah.
I want to, I know we've talked a lot about, like, high school. I kind of want to, just for those who don't know, like, how do you get into, like, the junior scene or, like, the state amateur scene? Is it, like... Because I personally don't know. Is it like an open invite sort of thing? Do you have to have like a certain score? Or like how do you kind of get into that? Is that typical for a lot of the guys here on the team? Or is it just like a select few?
Pretty much. Or yeah, actually all the guys kind of grew up playing junior events. There's things you sign up for and you can play in the summers. Yeah, it definitely helps you develop, make a lot of good friends. Like, I played with almost everyone on the team who's in Wisconsin just in summer junior tournaments and that kind of stuff. And then for the state amateur, you have to do a qualifier to get in. I'm pretty sure you need a certain handicap to get into the qualifier, and then you got to play pretty good to actually qualify for it once you're there.
Yeah,
because at Eau Claire, they still do CVGA, the Golf Association, yeah. Right? The junior one there, over there, too. And adults, too. I think there's an adult league with that, too.
Yeah, all
right?
Ages.
Yeah. So I know that was big when I was, you know, in high school. A lot of our guys would go and play that in the summer, too. So did you guys do a lot of, like, you know, growing up, you know, we had, like, junior golf, like, every Tuesday, Thursday in the summer or something like that. You know, the golf pro would come out and give you swings. Was that something that... was like for you guys too, or were you more of like, no, you got to play around. Like for me, it was like that's all I could do was just the lessons because didn't get a chance to go out on the course a whole lot.
Yeah, I kind of grew up doing junior golf programs, a ton of different courses. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I just had me and all my friends. We went out. Usually we either got like a lesson right before or something like that and then played a few holes. That's usually how it went.
Yeah. Stupid question. Back to the recruiting thing. You know, you guys are talking about the Eau Claire Country Club and that. So when you're looking at that, and I apologize for this dumb question, but like this would be something I would think of if I was ever at your level. Did you look at like, hey, I get to play at this course if I go here? Or this would be the home course? Or did that kind of come into mind when you were looking at that? You know, we talk about facilities for other sports nets, like the gymnasium or the locker room. But for golf, did it come to, like, I get to play at this course potentially or go to these courses?
Or I'll take it even one step further. Like, did you look at their schedule and kind of see where around, you know, the Midwest or even, like, the nation where, the team was going to play?
So, yeah, I definitely took a look at Eau Claire Country Club. Actually, on my recruiting visit with Coach Skinner, he took me out to the course, and I think he does that with everybody. And a lot of the guys actually get to play with, like the recruits get to play with the players during the recruiting visit. So that's super cool. So you get to see, you know, the country club firsthand, and it's awesome. So, yeah, that definitely played a role in that or played a factor in that. And then also, yeah, the schedule as well. When I came to visit, Skinner had mentioned, you know, multiple times about, like, how competitive our schedule is. And he goes above and beyond to put us in the right spot, like, right place to be successful. And a lot of times that is, you know, the nationwide tournament. So it's, like, Destin in the fall or, like, the preview wherever Nationals is in the fall and then also in the spring. Mm-hmm. So he talks about that a lot when he recruits, and it's true. We play some good courses. But we do, you know, we still play some public tracks that aren't the greatest in the spring. You know, obviously that just comes with just the winter and the type of season. So, yeah, but that definitely played a role in wanting to come here.
Yeah, I played Eau Claire Country Club on my recruiting trip. Did I play with you, Carson? I think I might have played with Carson. But, yeah, that's definitely one of the reasons why I came here.
That's
super fun course.
Yeah.
Had a great time with who I was playing with.
How different, again, this might be a dumb question, but for somebody who has barely traveled out of the state, myself, but like you guys, obviously you went to, was it Alabama earlier this year? And, you know, more, are the courses like the greens and that, how different are they compared to like maybe Wisconsin at its peak?
right
so,
now?
So, kind of all throughout the Midwest and the North, they use the same kind of grasses. Mm-hmm. So, all those courses are pretty similar. Obviously, the landscape changes and
right.
all that. But once you get farther south, the grasses change. So, it's Bermuda. So, you kind of got to play it a little different down there. Kind of a learning curve to get over that.
Right.
Yeah, they're not crazy different though. Nothing too difficult.
Yeah, for the most part, they're about the same. I mean, with the Bermuda grass, it's a lot grainier, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're putting on it, the grain takes the ball more sometimes than the slope. So you just have to pay attention to that. But yeah, it's a learning curve, but mm-hmm. it's something that you can get over pretty quick once you start playing on it.
So for anybody too, like let's say for yesterday, so we're recording this on Wednesday. Yesterday was Tuesday. You guys placed first, you know, WAC championships and such. Do you guys know where you're at on the leaderboards? Like, do you have an idea? Is anybody kind of keeping tabs, you know, giving you updates, or is it kind of like, again, I'll just use my experience again, ages ago. We had no idea until you came in and turned in your card, and then you got the cheap old little leaderboard paper, and, you know, somebody's putting scores up there. Are you guys aware of where you're at, you know, position-wise, or what you kind of need for this hole, or even, you know, I'll take it, you know, for Nick, did you know the score that you were at, you know, yesterday at when you nailed that birdie putt at the end there? Did you know where you were at?
I had no clue how far under par I was.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier in the day, I was kind of, Coach Hates does not like us doing this, but I was watching the scores all day.
Yeah.
Until probably the 11th or 12th hole, then I kind of put the phone away and stopped watching. Yeah, I had no clue that was for 66. So that was pretty cool. My previous low score ever was 67, so I got that by one, which is pretty sweet. And then obviously the school record came with it.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing with the guy from Stout who got second, so I knew where he was at, and I knew we were pretty close to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't realize how close it was at the end, but yeah, it was pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. So you guys get to, with your phone, you mentioned looking on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
You guys can look at scores on your phone, or all that?
All the scores are live. They update every hole. So
oh, geez, man.
If you want to, you can be watching all day.
Really?
Yeah.
So
the first round, I knew I was watching Carson's score the whole time. He was taking it pretty deep.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you want to, you're like, oh, I'm just going to see what's on Instagram right now, you know, sort of thing. I mean, technically, could you do that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
If you want to.
I think maybe it's against the rules, but I think I'm
pretty sure okay. cell phone devices are not allowed, yeah. So you might just be, you know.
Yeah, going against the rules. But, I mean, who's going to see what you're doing on your phone? But also at the same time, yeah, after every hole, there's one person, at least for this last tournament, there's one person that was designated, like, to enter the scores for everybody. So there is one person always on their phone after the hole.
So it's live scoring on the phone, like you just enter it there and it's updated? Wow.
Yeah. So it's like, it's a scorecard, basically, on your phone. Mm-hmm. So, it's nice, you know, when you have people that want to watch you but can't make it, you know, they're just watching online and whatnot like that. But then it also can become a distraction, you know. Coach Skinner kind of emphasizes not for us to look at it because, you know, once you start looking at it, then it's like, okay, well, then you start overthinking things and then you might start playing bad or something like that. But, I guess I haven't done that too much, but I know, you know, Nick did it yesterday, rightfully so, you know, that's awesome, but, it's kind of, I don't know, it can be a little damaging sometimes, I guess, but it worked out for him. So.
Are you guys allowed to, like, wear or listen to music while you're golfing or anything like that? Is that out there?
At Eau Claire Country Club, like, during practice, we could probably play some, like, music on speakers. I know a couple guys do when we're just practicing. But during tournaments, no, it's definitely not. Everybody's just kind of locked in and just trying to stay in your own world, basically. And then
there's
a couple guys that you know out there, so then you start talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to get into the mental side of things, and I apologize if I'm bringing up, you know, some nightmares from round two. For you, Carson, you're 7 holes through. You're 5 under. Apparently, did you almost hit a hole in one on 7?
I did, yeah. I just flew it right next to the stick. Yeah.
I just got the text from Coach. Carson almost aced, like, a million exclamation points. So you then go on to 8, and you unfortunately double it.
Mm-hmm.
You par the next two, and then, you know, you bounce back with two more birdies.
I've been there.
I doubled my hole after I hit a hole in one. So
right, but I don't think you're. I don't think you're doubling after five birdies.
Well, I doubled after an eagle. So
fair, but like, how does what is going through your mind after, you know, getting that hot of a start, and then you kind of just, you know, it kind of flips on you. How do you recheck in and you know, end up? I mean, you shot a 67, like to kind of turn it around like that.
Honestly, like I knew. So eight, when I got to eight, I hit not a great tee shot. I hit it into a bunker, and then I got super greedy. I tried to get it over the lip of the bunker with an eight iron and just kind of hit it right into the lip. Ended up making double. But yeah, I kind of at that point I was like, okay, well, even with a double, I'm three deep right now. And honestly, I'm probably beating the field right now just with that. And I got myself to that point, so I was like, I can get myself out of that point as well. So I honestly, like, with my old swing coach back in high school, he said something to me when I asked him. I said, what do you do? Like, how do you feel when you're under par? Like, how do you, like, hold those emotions? And he said, well, you're supposed to be there, right? Like, you're supposed to be under par. So then I kind of always felt that way. Like, once I'm under par, I'm like, okay, well, I'm supposed to be here, right? Let's just build this, you know, let's just keep going under. And that's just kind of what I did yesterday. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you just kind of have to forget about it, just flush it and just move on. And that's with any hole, you know, if you make a bogey or you make a par when you should have made birdie or, you know, whatever it is, you just kind of have to flush it and move on. It happens, you know, you're never going to have a round of golf where you're flawless, where you're, you know, it's a perfect, mm-hmm. you know, perfect round. Even a bogey free round, it's not perfect. So, yeah, it's kind of an obstacle that you have to dodge, but it's, you got to move on.
For you, Nick, for many of us, when you hit the turn, it's usually, you know, it's usually just the closest hole to the bar, so you can refill on beers, at least in my case. What?
I don't do that.
Oh, okay. Whatever. but, like, for you during round two, you're plus four after nine. Does that, like, halfway point, is there any, like mental checks, like resets you do, or is it kind of just, like, one hole after the other? It doesn't matter if it's nine, if it's six.
At that point, I'm just kind of looking for a swing thought to change things up a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I've obviously shot 40 and been over par a bunch of times, but I also know that I can make some birdies to kind of counter that. So I knew I was playing decent. I just needed some putts to drop and needed a couple good swings to get the confidence back a little bit. And that's kind of what happened.
And is that just, like, repetition, just playing golf so long?
Yeah.
Just kind of how it always is.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, tell me the secrets, because my mental game sucks. All right? So just tell me what's the secret method right now that you guys, because you guys are like, you know, yeah, you know, just it's you know, just got to keep telling yourself. I'm like, no, there's got to be a secret.
Well, yeah, I want to know what you had for lunch yesterday before you shot the 66
right.
in between rounds.
Oh, we had a nice, I think it was a turkey wrap or ham wrap or something like that.
All right, that's
a secret over at Lake Arrowhead
right now. But it's such, like, that's where I, when people, you know, maybe non-golfers kind of talk about, well, how hard is it? I'm like, to me, golf is the most mentally frustrating, challenging sport out there, because if I have a bad shot, if I have a bad hole, I can't turn it off. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't turn it off. You guys obviously can. I want to know that secret, how you can do that. I mean, is it just... Was it a lot of practice? Was there? Did you have a coach, or was that just something that just kind of developed over time? The more tournaments, high pressure maybe tournaments you guys played in as you got a little bit older.
For me, I kind of think about it as it's a golf shot that doesn't really matter where it goes at the end of the day.
Man, like, I want that mindset.
obviously, I'll
we're way overthinking this.
Yeah, I know.
Obviously, I'll be upset if I hit a bad one, but then I kind of think about it and it really doesn't matter at all.
How about you?
I still struggle with the mental part of the game for sure. But yeah, at the end of the day, like Nick said, it's golf, you know, it's a privilege to be there. But at the same time, you know, I've definitely been pissed off on the course. I won't lie. But yeah, at the end of the day, I mean, it's only going to damage you if you don't move on. So if you have that double in your head or whatever it is, you know, it's only going to damage you for the rest of the round if you keep it in your head. You just got to flush it and just move on and just kind of do your best from that point on. Just kind of go back to the basics and just know what you're good at and play in that, and so then you can play in your skills, I guess.
Because, I just imagine, you know, the scenarios, I'm sure we've all been there, you know, whether you dunk it in the water and like, okay, I got to get it up for just have a par opportunity here, and then I overstart thinking it and all that stuff, and I don't have the calm coolness over there. You know, I'm just like, well, I'm done with this hole sort of thing over there. But that to me is so fascinating. You guys are watching on TV to see you guys with that mindset, that ability to move on to the next shot, essentially. It's just that I think that's one of the most cool things in all of sports is just that mental side of it.
Yeah, and like this, I can't remember who said it, but they said that golf is the closest game to game of life. Like itself.
Bobby Jones said that.
Exactly. Yep. So it's like, it teaches you a lot of lessons, just kind of move on from those obstacles and those low points. And obviously there are low points in golf, especially, you know, with our season, you know, if you don't qualify for a tournament or whatever it is, you play bad in a tournament, you're looking like, you can go from being the one guy on our team to the next tournament. If you play bad that tournament, then the next tournament, not even being in the lineup for top five. So it's definitely difficult and frustrating at times, but definitely rewarding. I mean, there's no other feeling of playing well, like a 66 or a 67, you know, going under par. Just, there's nothing like it.
Yeah, I was going to, you kind of answered the question, but I'm going to do this again. Like, I was going to ask, what is it like shooting under par? What is it like shooting in the 60s? And I loved your answer from your swing coach, like, well, you're supposed to be there, you know, but really, when you turn in that card or you look at it, you're like, oh, yeah, I shot under par. You're like, okay, there we go. Do you just kind of move on? I mean, what's the feeling like? For somebody who doesn't do it, give me some of the feelings over there.
For me, it's sweet anytime you shoot under par. It's like a gift, pretty much. It's one of the best feelings there is, I'd say.
Yeah. You sound so humble, man. He is so humble. I mean, you shoot 66, dude, and you're like, yeah, it's a good feeling.
It's a great feeling.
You'd be good on the media tour afterwards, probably, over there. So that's so cool, though. But, okay, so, like, what's your plans now? Like, obviously you're still playing and all that, but, you know, golf future-wise, do you have, like, what's a five-year plan for you guys when you're done with college and that? Have you thought about that next step for you guys yet? Or are you still kind of in the moment because that's your mindset?
I don't know. I'm probably just going to start working, play some tournaments in the summers for fun.
Yeah?
Just things like that.
Do you have any goals to qualify for anything?
I'd like to qualify for the state AMs every year. I think that would be pretty cool. Maybe start doing the state opens, something like that, yeah.
I'd say the same thing. I mean, I'm just going to start working. I'm a senior, so I graduate in May. So, it's kind of coming up quick for me. I only got one tournament left. But, it's just work and then play some tournaments whenever I can, honestly, whenever I have free time. But the reality of it is, you know, we practice 6 times a week, so I'm going to suck at golf after, you know, this year. It's not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same level. So, realistically, it would be awesome to be, you know, playing at a state AM in the future years, but who knows? I'm not going to put too much pressure on myself. So,
do you have a big goal? Like, hey, I wouldn't mind trying to qualify for the Open or something like that. Is that something that's crossed your mind, you know, at any point?
For me, not as much. Obviously, like, my big tournaments are like the state Open or the state AM, whatever I try to qualify for, in the summer at least. And, yeah, like my goal is to make the cut and then also either get an exemption for the next state AM or, you know, be top 10 or something, get up there, you know, be competitive with the leaders. I've never even thought about trying to qualify for a, you know, USGA event like that. But I know some of the guys do on the team.
I'm kind of that same way too. I haven't really tried to qualify for the big USGA events. Stick within Wisconsin, pretty much.
I think we got to get you over there, right, Nick? I mean, we got to get. I mean, if you
100%,
we got to. Maybe we could get like a USGA tournament around here.
Where would we? I mean, Country Club.
Country Club,
100%.
We got to do it.
Yeah,
I mean,
that one.
US Senior Open was over at Points this past year.
Yeah,
my high school coach tried to qualify for that. Didn't go too well. He's still a good golfer, but it didn't go too well. So, Ah, man, I could talk golf with you guys all day here. Yeah. Do you have any questions before we got to get to a little lightning round here quick? Because I got an expanded lightning round because it's golf.
I got a couple questions on lightning round, too.
For lightning round?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Should we kind of flip it, switch it around instead of the normal kind of just... Because I got a lot of golf lightning
Let's round. End on the main one.
On the main one over there?
Yeah.
Okay. So, your number one bucket list golf course to play is what? Doesn't have to be tournament, just the course.
I feel like Augusta's pretty generic answer. That one might be a little hard to get on, though, so I'd say probably... I think Cabot would be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The scenery around there looks really cool.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. How do you not say Augusta?
Yeah,
Augusta's definitely the number one. I mean, it's so cool looking. Mm-hmm. I would love to be on... Even just not even playing, just be on the grounds.
Right?
Would be awesome.
Yeah.
What's the favorite course you've played?
That I've played... I don't know. There's a couple up there. I mean, the Sand Valley courses, Erin Hills. I played TPC Scottsdale, which was pretty cool. There's a lot of them out there. I feel like we've been pretty lucky to play. Mm-hmm. But, I haven't played Whistling, but I played the Irish course, and then I played both Black Wolf courses. Mm. So those are super, super nice tracks. I mean, Wisconsin's loaded with good courses, so I've been pretty lucky with that.
Yeah, because didn't golf.com just rank Wisconsin like number one in public courses a couple months ago?
Did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd say mine is probably Sand Valley too.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like you're not even in Wisconsin there.
I know the pictures are like that's not where I remember working for there. So
and then also I'm a little biased, but I caddy at Erin Hills, so
do you really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I think that's probably the close second for me.
Yeah. We got to get a PGA or U.S. Open back in Wisconsin. I don't know when that's going to happen, though.
Yeah.
I can see a Sand Valley venue doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sand Valley would be awesome over there.
Caddying in the summer?
Yeah, I caddy in the summers.
Road trip?
I'm in.
We double bag. I could get both of you.
You're just looking for the money, all right?
Yeah, what does a caddy get a tip now for the... No, I'm just kidding. All right, I got to ask brand of clubs. What do you shoot?
I got a pretty big mix. Titleist and TaylorMade, though.
Okay.
All the way around.
Nice.
I'm all Titleist.
Yeah?
I'm all Titleist. Yeah, I'm pretty loyal.
Nice.
Yep.
Even ball, too, Titleist?
Yep. We get balls. We get balls from the university. So, yeah, they're all Titleist Pro V1s or Pro V1Xs. So it's pretty nice.
Logos.
Yeah. Yep, logos on them.
Nice. Nice.
Pretty sweet.
I'm a Callaway guy, if you can.
Are you? Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Titleist ball, though.
Oh, so, yeah. Got to go Pro V1.
Yeah. Yep. See, I'm old school, too, with the wedges. I'm still Cleveland.
Okay.
Back in the day, it was Cleveland. Yeah. They were like, that's the wedges you had to have. So I'm still stuck in that.
Yeah, they're good wedges.
Yeah.
There's no bad clubs out there. I mean,
I would say, like, you get what you pay for, though, too, right?
Oh, for sure.
I noticed a difference. Like, you know, when I first started, it was like the Kmart brand, Walmart brand, you know. So, but then you get up to the camera, like, okay, there's a difference.
You got to start
a little
somewhere.
Forgiveness,
nope.
You know, on there and such. Any of you guys hit blades?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I do.
Both of you do?
Yeah.
I hate you guys. No, I'm just kidding. did you have another one for golf related?
What's your favorite club to hit?
Mm.
This has been a controversial topic in here.
This will tell if you're a good golfer or not.
I love hitting driver.
Thank you.
Give me some up top. Yes.
I'm the opposite. I love hitting good wedges.
Thank you. Yeah.
So wedges. Yeah. You know, like if you stick a wedge to like, you know, a couple feet, there's no better feeling.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm like wedge and low irons, 8-9 over there.
That's
well,
fair.
That's why he's shooting 66s and you're stuck at
66. There's a difference. There's a difference.
The one stroke,
There's a difference, that's for sure.
I'd still take like 20 over that sometimes. So.
He calls me crazy because I said driver and putter.
That's fair. Yeah.
When you make a long putt, that's the best feeling.
Well, you just made one yesterday, so your opinion doesn't count on that, sir.
I had an even longer one on 11. It was probably 50, 60 feet. I was just trying to get it within 5 feet, and it just dropped, happened to drop. Carson had one, too, actually.
Yeah, I had one like that yesterday, too. I think a 50, 60-footer. You're just trying to lag it up there, and it just kind of ends up in the bottom of the cup.
You know, I remember as a kid... Everybody wanted to be like Tiger, but, you know, you'd follow a swing or try to emulate that swing. Was that something you guys did, still do, or try to model anybody's game, I guess, is probably the best way to say it?
I don't know if I try to model a game. I kind of just stick to my own swing and what works for me. But, you know, there's guys that I love watching because mm-hmm. their swing is so good, like Rory or JT, like Justin Thomas. Those are two that I love watching just because I like their swings. But I don't know if I've ever, like, thought to myself, like, I want to look like that, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe, like, I have, but realistically, there's no way I'm going to, like, my swing's not going to look like Rory's. So it's just kind of have to work with what I got, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I haven't really tried to emulate anyone's swing exactly. Growing up, I probably liked Spieth or Rory the best.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really try to copy their swing, though. In the past, like, year or two, I've been kind of trying to copy Scotty's mental game.
Yeah.
He says he's a man of God, and that's
mm-hmm.
that's what matters, not the golf. So I think that's really helped take a lot of pressure off for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, his little foot drag there, I don't know how he gets away with that.
We got a couple of the guys on the team who tried to do that
really?
Once in a while, yeah, just for fun. But yeah.
How many of you guys are, okay, Happy Gilmore it?
Yeah, I definitely done a
Everybody's
few of those.
Done, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree. You have to do it. So I don't know about Happy Gilmore 2 coming out, though. I'm a little skeptical on that.
Yeah, we'll yeah. see.
It's like, don't mess with a good thing after like 30 years.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
I don't know if you can do it. So, but favorite golf movie?
Probably Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore?
Yeah, I got to be Happy Gilmore.
Mine's a little bit more serious. It's probably the greatest game ever played.
Nice.
Ever seen that one?
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's classic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We were just talking about that at dinner last night, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I've been seeing clips on social media of that movie lately. I don't know why it's showing up in my feed, but yeah.
It's a classic.
Tin Cup.
That's up there.
And I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Bobby Jones, Stroke of Genius.
I've never seen that one.
That came out in about 2004.
Okay.
I like that one. I was a big Bobby Jones. Like, I love sports history.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby Jones. I was big into that. Oh, so yeah,
for sure.
Favorite movie overall?
You can take this one next. I don't even know what mine is.
Mine's probably The Great Outdoors.
Nice.
Either that one or Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
So you're a John Candy fan?
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice. That's awesome.
I don't know what mine would be. I mean, there's so many classics out there. You know, there's like this nostalgic ones that I watched when I was a kid. So I don't know.
What's the
so many good.
One from when you were a kid?
Well, yeah, there's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I remember watching Grown Ups as, you know, a mm-hmm. younger kid. That was a good one.
You're just aging me, man.
Well, right. But, I mean, not at, like, I wasn't a little kid, but, you know, I was probably 13 or whatever it was. But, yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of classics. Adam Sandler does well. A lot of the Will Ferrell movies I like.
Yep.
Like Step Brothers, that's a classic.
Oh, yeah.
It's super funny. I don't know. I don't know if I could pick just one.
How about, are you binge-watching anything or streaming anything right now?
Honestly, right now, I'm pretty busy with golf and school, so I haven't been watching too much, but...
Have you watched Full Swing?
I have. That's one thing I did watch when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's a good one.
Yep.
Yeah, I've watched Full Swing. I'm not really binge-watching anything, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you guys do in your downtime? Like, hobby-wise or anything like that? I mean... Can't say golf.
A lot of golf.
Any other favorite stuff to do?
I mean, we love the dedication. We do some of the intramurals at Eau Claire too.
Yeah.
Those are always a bunch of fun. Sand volleyball.
You guys got a t-shirt?
Yeah, I got a few of those.
All right.
Yeah.
That's the main thing when it comes to intramurals over there. Yeah. You got to have the t-shirt over there. How about favorite music?
I'm either country or worship music.
Okay.
That's mine.
Yep.
I'd say country.
Yeah.
I'm usually always listening to country, but then I'll, you know, get into rap, and I'll listen to everything, but honestly, like, I usually listen to country the most.
Do you guys listen to music before around, like, a lot of sports? You know, they got guys that are in charge of the music in the locker room or anything like that. Is that something that you guys listen to a little bit beforehand, or?
Yeah, guys usually put earbuds in, AirPods or whatever it is, before around and just kind of get into the right mental state.
Mm-hmm.
I have done that. I don't do it regularly. But yeah, I know. I think Nick was yesterday. Ben does it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think a lot of the guys do.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna need that playlist this summer.
Yeah, right? You guys need to write a book, both of you, or come up with your own podcast of golf secrets.
Yeah, I actually, I like to get a song stuck in my head for the round.
Really?
I usually listen to worship music and then get one of those songs stuck in my head, and that kind of helps free me up mentally. I know.
Really?
I know Ben tries to do that too.
Interesting.
I suppose it's
then I'm not thinking about golf the whole time.
Right, but then it's also like, I guess it's part of like the repetition, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I never thought of it that usually because like, dang it, I can't get that song out of my head, but
you use it that way.
Yeah.
I think Coach Skinner, he mentioned that to me either my freshman or sophomore year of college. Yeah, and that's worked. I mean, there's something to be said with that. So it's, I don't know if it's just like freeing or you just start thinking about other things. I don't know what it is, but yeah.
Oh, I'm going to try that now.
Maybe that's the secret.
That might be the secret. Yeah. After all these years, then I'm going to be mad.
You got somebody to thank after that.
I know, right? Yeah, exactly. do you guys have a favorite sports team?
Oh, I've got to go with the Packers.
Atta
I'm a big Packer fan.
Atta boy.
Same with me. Definitely the Packers. Not the Vikings.
Thank you. Finally over there.
Our team's a little split, so it's a lot of Vikings fans and a lot of Packer fans. And then, actually this year, two of the freshmen, one's a Bears fan, one's a Lions fan, so...
You got the whole North covered.
Yeah, we all give them crap, you know, it's... go Pack, go baby, that's all it is.
Any superstitions? Like when you're playing or anything, like you have to do something certain or lucky? Like I always had a keychain on my bag when I was playing. It was dumb. I don't even want to go into the reason why I had it.
Yeah, I definitely caught myself being too superstitious. Mm-hmm. I always joke, like, with my parents whenever I talk, you know, they always... think I'm so super superstitious, but I've caught myself like maybe a month ago. I was like, I'm getting way too superstitious. Maybe, you know, like you're just a good golfer, not, you know, it's not in these things that you do. So I try to stay away from that. But yeah, there are definitely little things I can't think of right now that I kind of that I do.
Right.
I'm sure there's a few little things for me, but I don't really. I think I'm very superstitious.
Don't have the tea always in your right ear or anything that.
I always got a couple teas in my right pocket and a ball mark, but I feel like that's pretty normal for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No penny in the golf shoe or anything like that. So. how about favorite food?
I really like watermelon.
Watermelon?
Yep.
Nice.
Watermelon in the summers.
Now, do you put salt or sugar on it or none?
None.
Okay. My grandparents used to put, like, I grew up, they put salt on it. And now that I got older, I'm like, is that the right thing?
Yeah, my mom does that.
Okay, yeah, so yeah. I'm not crazy. Okay.
No. I'd say steak. I mean, there's nothing better than a grilled steak.
Yeah?
Whenever I go home, my mom or dad are like, what do you want? I'm like, are you kidding me? Steak?
Yeah?
Yeah. And they spoil me, but yeah.
Nice. I'll let you ask this one. Because you always get mad at how I phrase it.
Pizza fan?
I love pizza, yeah.
Do you enjoy pineapple on pizza?
Oh, boy. This might be controversial.
It is very controversial.
Let him answer.
Okay, I can tell you're for pineapple, but I'm not. I'm not for pineapple.
Attaboy.
I don't like pineapple on my pizza.
Yep.
Nick?
I'm that same exact way. Not a big fan of pineapple on the pizza.
Interview over.
I feel like I'm going to shoot under par now this year. I'm feeling it now.
If that's my issue because I'm eating pineapple on pizza, I will stop right now.
You'll give it up for Lent?
I'll give it up for life if it means I can shoot under par.
Right? Oh, yeah. All right. All right, guys. So this was we could go on and on because I could talk golf all day with you guys. So congratulations on yesterday, which was be a couple days ago now when this airs. But, you know, I know you got another tournament coming up here and such.
Tournament on Sunday.
Sunday, and then potentially nationals after that, is that
Hopefully,
right?
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah?
It's still up in the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it is. I think Sunday's going to be a big one. But I think you guys are on a hot roll right now, and I think you guys could definitely make some noise.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we'll have to get you guys back on, though. Soon,
definitely.
And talk some more golf and such, too. Just straight up golf after that. So, congratulations, guys.
Thank you.
Come up with your own podcast. Just send it to me, nobody else, and give me some secrets or help me out on the course. I'd appreciate that. So, but best of luck. And it was great chatting with you guys.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks
for having us.
You got it. And that is going to do it for us on this episode of the Rollin' with the Golds podcast. For Nick Hoven, I'm Dan Casper. We will talk to you on the next episode of Rollin' with the Golds.